Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. My brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a hard word. And it's kind of one that it's a little strange, where Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't like that a lot. Do you? I mean, after all, don't we all have things that we're supposed to be busy doing? I mean, I don't know about you, but like for me in my life, I go and take care of my mom a lot, a widow who lives out in Monona near Madison, and she needs stuff done around her house, and I'll go out and take care of that, and I enjoy doing that for her. It makes me happy to serve her as her son. And is that what Jesus is saying, that I shouldn't bother with my mom? Or what about when my wife or my kids need me? I mean, you know, Liz says, empty the dishwasher, and I say, well, I can't put my hand to the plow and look back. That's not, I'm not good for God there. I don't think that's, I'm going to get away with that. It's just this word that seems strange to us. I mean, the request that these men make of Jesus, well, let me go and bury my father. Of course you should bury your father, right? I don't know. That's not what Jesus says. Let me go and kiss those who are in my household. No, you can't do that. Elisha kind of had an interesting thing. I don't know if you caught this in the Old Testament lesson. He wanted to go back and say goodbye to his mother and father. And if you're reading it wrong, it kind of looks like Elijah says, yeah, okay, go do that. But Elijah says, no, you can't. So what does Elisha do? He sacrifices all 12 yoke of his oxen, burns them, and gives them to the people to eat. And then he goes and follows Elijah at the call of God. You see, God's call puts some interesting requests on us, doesn't it? It's not easy, I would say, to be a Christian, right? C.S. Lewis is famous for saying, if you're looking for a religion to make you happy, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Although C.S. Lewis was an ardent Christian, as we know. He was the writer of the Chronicles of Narnia. His point in this is saying that Christianity is hard because it requires you to leave things behind. And not only requires you to leave your sin behind, and not only requires you to leave, well, everything of your life behind, but it's hard to follow after Jesus because even as Paul says, our desire of the flesh is to go and do what our flesh wants to do, and the desire of the Spirit is for us to go and do what the Spirit desires us to do, and these are at war with one another, and there's really no compromise. You don't get to say, well, let me do this just a little bit, and the Spirit says, yeah, that's fine, go ahead. And the Spirit calls you to do something, and your flesh is saying, no, do this. The call of the Christian is to look to the Spirit and say, yeah, that's what I should be doing. And so often we don't. Do you? Do you always do what the Spirit tells you to do? Do you always follow after Jesus the way that Jesus would have you do? I know that I don't. I know it's a hard thing. So what is it that Jesus is telling us here? Because I love my mom, and I love my wife and my kids, and I love my people, and I love everybody who I get a chance to serve. But if I look at God and I say, I got to go do this, and then I'll come and do this, Jesus says, no. It's not how that works. When the call is placed upon you, you go. In our As We Gather today, I kind of gave you a hint as to how to understand this. If you're standing there in your front yard and you're discussing something with your neighbor and it's a good conversation and you're having fun and all of a sudden you see a kid run right out into the street and you see a semi barreling down at them, do you just say, okay, let's finish the discussion first and then I'll go get the kid? Incidentally, that happened to my father in his youth and he was hit by the truck. But that's a whole different kind of story. In this case, You leave your neighbor, you run after the kid, you save the kid, and you put the kid back into the arms of their parents. And then, if you have time, and you remember where you were, you can finish your discussion with your neighbor. Probably much of that was left behind at that point. When Jesus says, "Come follow me," that's the kid racing into the street. And our life is the discussion that we're having with others around us. So do we race into the street to follow Jesus? Or do we stay back and do what we want? It's a hard question, isn't it? Of course, following after Jesus, what does that mean? Right? To act well, to do God's will, to obey His commandments, to, yes, even love justice, right? To walk humbly with God. You're doing part of walking with Jesus this morning, following after Him by being in church, by hearing His word, by not forsaking the sacrament. That's a good thing to follow after Jesus with. It also looks like sharing the good news of Christ with others. Certainly Christ told His people to go and preach the good news. James and John had been sent out to go and preach the good news ahead of Him in Samaria as Jesus was going down from Galilee all the way to Jerusalem. And they went, and well, things didn't go very well. The Samaritans are kind of this half-breed group in the Bible. This group that kind of came up mixing Gentiles and Jews together, and not just the race, but the religion. And so the Jews looked down upon them and did not see them as worthy. That's why the parable of the Good Samaritan is so shocking. Because a Samaritan can't be good. The Samaritan's evil. Samaritan doesn't worship the one true God, and yet the Samaritan is the one who's the good neighbor. But James and John and the rest of the apostles went into that place and preached, and people didn't turn. And Jesus, they meet up with Him, and they say, you know, it didn't go well. Do you want us to call fire down upon them because they didn't like you? And what does it say? Jesus turns and rebukes them. I mean, does God have any problem sending fire down on people to burn them up? Of course He doesn't. How many times has He done that in the Old Testament? And doesn't Jesus promise to do the same even at the end, where the world will be purged with fire? Jesus doesn't have a problem with that. What does He have a problem with? They were going on and they looked back. They were going on with Jesus toward Jerusalem, and they turned back to say to these people, "You missed out. You missed the Savior. You missed Him." And they looked upon them with judgment. Understandably so. But their call wasn't to look back to who had rejected Jesus. Their call was to look forward to those who they may preach the gospel to one more time. If God would bring them back into Samaria to preach the gospel again, God will be pleased with this. But it is not to look back at what has gone on before, but to look forward to what God is calling us to. To look forward to saving the child in the street. To look forward to following after Jesus. What does that mean for you today? What does this look like for us today? From the very moment we wake, we thank God for all that He has given to us. Another day of life. As hard as it may be, we thank God for another day of life. We look to Him as the giver of all good things. We go about our mornings, we go about our day, we look for opportunities to preach the gospel to a hurting people. We seek to reject the work of the flesh. We look to see what is the work of the Spirit. And you saw what the fruit of the Spirit are. I mean, we all know this. That's how we're supposed to live. That was what was in our first hymn. We know what it is to live like Jesus. At least how He wants us to. And yet, at the end of the day, what do we pray? "Forgive me my sins." And my friends, That's a huge and maybe even the most important part of following after Jesus. It's to say to our Lord, forgive me for when I've failed. Forgive me for when I have sinned against you. Forgive me when I have let down my neighbor. Forgive me for putting others ahead of you. Forgive me for putting attention on things that are not your own. Forgive me for giving into the works of my flesh. Forgive me for forsaking the work of the Spirit. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in every circumstance, says, yes, I forgive you. Jesus knows that the way is hard. Verse 57, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus says to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is saying to him, if you follow after me, it's going to be hard. That's going to stink. But he gives to you and I, through his very cross and resurrection, forgiveness of sins. When we follow after Jesus, my friends, it doesn't matter how ardent your faith is. It doesn't matter how strongly you attempt to do this. I mean, if you guys all go home today and you say, I'm going to follow after Jesus in every moment that I possibly can, you're going to find every way that you still sin against God. You can't help it. When you look and say, I want to love you, Lord. I want to follow after you. Give me the strength to do this. You're going to be like Martin Luther in the Reformation and say, look at all of the different ways that I've sinned. How can I possibly atone for these? And the answer is you can't. But Christ has. Christ has died, taking your sin, yes, even your sin of not following Jesus closely enough to himself. And even this, he has crucified upon the cross so that it is no longer yours, but it is his. He is the non-follower of Jesus. He is the one who turns his face back to the past. He is the one who turns and says to the Samaritans, well, you're done. He's the one who doesn't thank God in the morning for all the gifts of God. He's the one who forgets to pray. He's the one who forgets to preach the gospel. Jesus is the one who takes all of your sin and becomes himself the sinner. He takes your sin, having committed none of his own, and he crucifies your sin so that it can't be yours. It's dead and it's gone. And as even Jesus was taken down from the cross, your sin was left there, that when he goes into the tomb and he rises after 3 days, he resurrects from the dead, he comes back to life, and he shows us that our sin is gone because the sinner cannot live before the face of God. And he says to you, this now is yours. He says to you, you are the redeemed, I have bought you back. He says to you, I love you, and I give to you all good things. I give to you even myself. And he continues to do this so that week after week, when we fail, when we don't follow after Jesus the way that we should, Jesus comes back to us. And he starts every service here among us with, I forgive you all of your sins. And if that's not enough, he reminds you of your baptism where he's put his name upon you. And he says, here you belong to me. You can't really follow after me without doing this, and yet at the same time without being baptized, or by being baptized, you will follow after me. You have no choice. You're mine. And if that's not enough, he brings to you his very body and his very blood in his supper. Where you eat of his flesh, where you drink of his blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith, that you might go out of this place and into life and say, I'm following you. And when you mess up, when you sin, when you turn away from God, when you go back to bury your father, when you go back to kiss your mom and your dad, when you go back to kiss those in your home, Jesus says, come follow me. I forgive you. Come follow me. Be with me. I forgive you. I'm with you now. See, coming and following after Jesus is hard. And Jesus knows this. He knows it is not an easy call that He has placed upon our life, and yet it is the right thing to do. We know this. By the Spirit living within us, we know that following after Jesus in all things is the right thing. And we know that we should forsake those works of the flesh, those desires of the heart that would turn us away from the paths of God. And so we do that. We do it poorly. We do it not fully. We do it even in our sin. And Jesus says, I know and I forgive you. It is for this reason I came, that I might forgive your sins and bring you to life, that you may never die, but be with me forever. The dead will bury their own dead, for the dead are those without faith. But the living, we proclaim the kingdom of God. What else can we do when Christ comes to us to forgive us, to strengthen us, and to be with us? What else can we do but proclaim His kingdom and bring others into it? You will fail. You will fall. You will sin because you're a sinner. And yet Christ has given to you a new heart, a heart of the Spirit, a heart that revives the dead flesh within you, that one day you may find when He returns once more, you may find that you will live and there will be no more hedging your bets. There will be no more looking back. But it will only and ever always be following Jesus. Lord, quickly come. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.